Maya's life is unraveling thread by thread. Secretly buying Clonopin from her friend Wendy, she carefully hides her addiction from her boyfriend Dan while battling withdrawal symptoms. Insomnia that keeps her staring at shadows until dawn, brain zaps that feel like electrical currents shooting through her skull. During one sleepless night, scrolling through social media, Maya discovers a viral video that stops her heart. Titled Girl Dies on Camera, the grainy security footage shows a familiar face she hasn't seen in 7 years, Frank Bellamy, sitting across from a dark-haired woman in a fluorescent-lit diner. Without warning, the woman slumps forward, dead before her face hits the table. The video triggers an avalanche of memories Maya has spent years suppressing. 7 years earlier, she watched her best friend Aubrey collapse in exactly the same way while talking with Frank. Maya had screamed accusations, convinced Frank orchestrated Aubrey's death, though she couldn't explain how. The police found no evidence of foul play, and her desperate insistence on Frank's guilt led her family to worry about her mental health. They arranged sessions with a doctor who diagnosed her with brief psychotic disorder and prescribed antipsychotics. Now, watching this new death unfold in Frank's presence in the same inexplicable way, Maya feels both vindicated and terrified. Despite Dan's gentle attempts to rationalize the coincidence, Maya knows she can't ignore this pattern. What power does Frank possess that allows him to end lives with just a conversation? Growing up caught between worlds, Hispanic in appearance, but raised by a single white mother with little connection to her Guatemalan heritage, Maya has always felt like an outsider. Her father, Jairo, was killed in Guatemala's civil war at 22, shot after protesting an army massacre. A month before Aubrey died, Maya lost her grandmother in Guatemala, a woman she'd never met. Despite safety concerns, she attended the funeral where relatives she'd never known embraced her, including her Aunt Carolina, who strongly resembled her. Before leaving, her grandfather gave Maya her father's unfinished manuscript titled Olvidé que era hijo de reyes, I Forgot I Was the Son of Kings, which later revealed Frank's manipulation techniques. Maya's family history held another shadow. Her mother's sister, Lisa, whose mental health issues led to her death at 21. This history haunted Maya, especially after her mother forced her to take antipsychotics when she questioned Frank after Aubrey's death. The cabin in the pines represents the core mystery of Maya and Frank's relationship. He described it with extraordinary detail, cathedral ceilings, glowing pine panels, warming firelight, so vividly Maya could almost smell the sap. Years later, after the viral video, Maya investigates. Following the forest path, she discovers a devastating truth. No magnificent cabin exists, just a deteriorating concrete foundation with Frank's meager possessions scattered across it. When confronted, Frank claims he invented the cabin out of shame. But as he describes it again, his voice becoming hypnotic, Maya experiences a terrifying perceptual shift. The world blurs, and suddenly she's standing inside the cabin until cold rain breaks the spell. Maya's declaration, "There is no cabin," shatters the illusion. This revelation becomes key to understanding Frank's abilities. The cabin never physically existed. It was purely a hypnotic suggestion, a shared hallucination he could induce at will. How many of our own cherished memories might be equally constructed? Maya discovers Frank's father, Orrin Bellamy, was a certified hypnotherapist who published on personality traits associated with high absorption scores. She finds the Clear Horizons Wellness Center website with testimonials about Dr. Hart helping people overcome grief through a proprietary therapeutic method. While researching CHT, Maya experiences something disturbing. She can see certified, therapist, but cannot perceive the middle word. Eventually, she discovers Orrin was a hypnotherapist, though she initially couldn't perceive hypno. Maya realizes Frank had implanted suggestions preventing her from perceiving the word hypnosis, blocking her from discovering what he'd done to her. Frank later reveals his disturbing childhood. he discovered his father using hypnosis on him and his mother, then learned these methods himself by breaking into his father's study. Maya finds Dr. Bellamy's academic journal featuring his Bellamy induction method, which uses classical conditioning with common objects, like keys, to instantly hypnotize subjects, explaining how Frank controlled victims and induced physiological reactions leading to death. Maya and Aubrey connected deeply in ninth grade English over Sylvia Plath and Emily Dickinson, finding kinship as outsiders. Aubrey, with striking green eyes and natural charm, moved frequently due to her father's military career, making friends easily but struggling with lasting bonds. Their friendship flourished through formative experiences, experimenting with LSD while sharing fears, and weekend trips to Hamilton Falls, where they challenged each other to leap from higher ledges. Frank's arrival created immediate tension. Maya's infatuation turned possessive when she noticed his attention toward Aubrey. During their confrontation, Aubrey revealed Frank had orchestrated their accidental meetings, describing him as controlling and questioning his influence on Maya's decision to defer college. They briefly reconciled when Aubrey revealed a green striped scarf she'd been knitting as Maya's going away present. That night, they danced like old times. This reconciliation made the next day's tragedy even more devastating. After a mysterious encounter with Frank, Aubrey was found dead, leaving Maya haunted by unanswered questions. Maya struggles to prove Frank's invisible crimes. Detective Donnelly dismisses her claim that Frank killed Aubrey just by talking to her, while Maya can't explain how his words seemed to weave into her thoughts, altering her reality. Her breakthrough comes when she records Frank at a bar. Despite ambient noise, the recording captures his hypnotic cadence, especially when discussing heavy limbs and his cabin. Most telling is Maya's own voice becoming increasingly slurred, providing the first concrete evidence of his manipulation. Detective Diaz proves more receptive than Donnelly, taking the recording seriously and noting the unusual vocal patterns. She promises to investigate thoroughly, making Maya feel believed. The investigation exposes Frank's Dr. David Hart persona at Clear Horizons Wellness Center and uncovers his family history, including his mother's multiple identity changes, likely fleeing Oren's abuse. Though Frank's fate remains unclear, Maya begins healing, adopting a traumatized dog, reducing medication, maintaining sobriety through AA, and creating a writing space in Dan's apartment surrounded by her father's research. When life's narrative is hijacked, as in Maya's journey from manipulation to self-authorship, we confront perception's fragility, symbolized by the novel's imaginary cabin. Maya rebuilds her foundation by reconnecting with her Guatemalan heritage through her father's manuscript, restoring authentic relationships, and addressing her addiction. This manuscript becomes a cultural bridge to an identity beyond Frank's manipulation. Though post-hypnotic suggestions occasionally surface, Maya discovers writing, authoring her own narrative, effectively counters manipulation. Her planned Guatemala trip represents both cultural reconnection and reclaiming her voice. Maya realizes that while complete certainty remains elusive, we find stability through authentic connections and creative expression. Some doubts may persist, but choosing which reality to inhabit remains our decision. In a world of manipulated perceptions, becoming the author of your own story may be the most revolutionary act possible.